Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are up to Psalm 52, 52nd Psalm. This one has sort of a long title, a long heading. It's several things we've seen before, but listen to this. It says, to the choir master, okay, or for the chief musician, or for the choir director, depends on what version of an English translation you've got. So what does that tell us? It's for the choir master, so this would be used in some type of a musical environment, okay? Likely in a worship service or something like that. But it wouldn't be something secretive and something hidden. And that's really intriguing when you just go back and look at some of these psalms that have this title. David deals with his most forthright sin, for instance, and I think the previous one we looked at. And things that normally you just sort of want to keep hidden, you know? No. They're here for the choir master. There's something to be gleaned here, something to be learned here. Then it says this, a maskil of David. Okay, so David wrote this, and we've looked before at what a maskil is, and nobody really knows. It's a poem, it's a song, it is a psalm, but it has an idea of thinking about it, contemplation. So this is something to be thought over, to be considered. A maskil of David, now it's going to tell us the background, the context. When Doeg, the Edomite, came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. So that's literally the title. And I know you can't see it, so I have to sort of give you some insight here into the punctuation. David wrote this in response to the event that occurred when Doeg, the Edomite, came and told Saul something. And here's what he told Saul. David has come to the house of Ahimelech. David had been fleeing from Saul. Saul had been searching for him, seeking him out. David had come to the house of Ahimelech, particularly some priests there, and had asked for some food. They'd granted it to him. David looked over and he saw Doeg there, Doeg the Edomite. As a matter of fact, later on, David looks at Doeg and says, I knew I should have killed you when I saw you there. That kind of thing. Doeg comes and reports to Saul, hey, David's over there. Well, by the time Saul and his people get there, David had fled. Saul starts to interrogate the priest and starts to ask what's going on. He tells him what happened. I mean, they tell him what happened and what's going on. And then Saul orders that the priest be killed. Saul's right-hand people wouldn't kill him, but Doeg would. And I think there were 70-something priests. It might have been 70, but 70-something priests that were killed that day. And now we saw this when we went through the life of David several months ago. But I wanted to remind us of it, that as we go through the psalm, which is a rather short psalm, it's like 9 verses, that this wasn't just a little happy-pappy thing. And, you know, at the very beginning it says, why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? It isn't just this little flippant thing. There is a tremendously evil thing that had occurred right here. And David writes this maskil, this song, this psalm of which we are supposed to meditate upon, that we are supposed to contemplate, we're supposed to reflect using this as a device to do so. And he wanted it put to music. That right there, folks, tells us something. David wanted this story recounted. He wanted people to know not only what had happened, but what the outcome of it is. Now, we'll see the outcome at the very end. I'll just tell you right now. He says, I'm going to give you thanks forever, Lord. I wait for your name, O Lord. He gives praise and adoration to God. So let's just dive into this. We'll see how far we can get today. So with that title, the first verse says this, why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Now, we're not told forthrightly who the mighty man is. We're not told who is boasting of evil. We're not told. Could it be Doeg? Yeah, probably could be. And it probably is. Maybe is. We're simply not told. I would say it's either Doeg or Saul and or both. Okay. But they're boasting of evil and they're mighty men. Okay. They're in a mighty position. That's definitely Saul, right? But then David says the steadfast love of God endures all day. And we have a tendency, folks, to think, oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's true. God's love, that has said love, the loyal love of God, it endures forever. It endures continually. And we think, oh, yeah. But think of that in the context where 70 priests were just killed because they helped you. And somebody's trying to find you. And they're mad, so they kill all these folks. And then think, really, are you going to be thinking about the steadfast love of God, how it endures all day? David starts off with this. Oh, you're boasting of evil? Oh, you think you're a mighty man? I got news for you. The loyal love of God endures forever. That's where his mind was. That's where our mind needs to be. Even when various things happen, like what we see in verse 2, your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. Verse 3, you love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. Selah. Oh, yeah, we're going to have a couple of Selah moments right here. So it's like, okay, think on this. Reflect on this. Meditate upon this. And so he's speaking to these that are wicked, that boast of evil. He says, your tongue plots the destruction. Your tongue's like a sharp razor. You're actually a worker of deceit. Okay, so whether it's Doeg, whether it's Saul, it applies to both of them. You're a worker of deceit. And you know what? You love evil more than you love good. And you love lying more than speaking what is right. Well, that's pretty strong language right here. But remember this, even in the midst of all this, the steadfast love of God endures all the day. Verse 4 picks it up. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. So he calls him a worker of deceit with a razor tongue. Now that plots destruction. And now he says, oh, you love these words that devour, O deceitful tongue. Then verse 5. And I'll tell you what, I'll read this first. We'll have to pick the rest of it up later. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. Think on that. But God, I'm sort of inclined to think it's probably Doeg because of the way that David speaks here. When David would speak of Saul, even after Saul was dead, there was always a degree of honoring the king in his position, that kind of thing. But here, God will break you down forever. He's going to snatch you. He's going to tear you from your tent, from your house. He's going to uproot you from the land of the living. In other words, the Most High God is going to strike you down and take you from the land of the living and put you in Sheol, the land of the never-ending death, hoping you would die, but you never die. Yeah, this is what God's going to do. So you go ahead with that tongue of yours. You go ahead and plan all this evil. You go ahead and do all this kind of stuff. But God's going to take care of it. Hey, this is a really good thing for us to know and for us to keep in mind because, folks, we are in these kind of days. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.